Colonel Beaver, Reel 4.
I think I made a mistake in one respect, that I took the lease of this office in my own name. It would have been better from the point of view of security if I had taken it in the name, either a fictitious name or in the name of a member of some other embassy, which would have caused a lot of trouble but would have preserved my own purity. I never knew who the man was who my embassy colleague wanted to interview. But I did hear afterwards that he was arrested for some reason, and when arrested, and asked if he'd contacted any foreign or any British representative, and he mentioned that he had had a meeting with a British person. I don't even know whether he said a British diplomat, at this particular office. And when they looked up the records, they found that the office was in the name of J.G. Beaver. And this fact was clearly communicated to Salazar, and there came a time, not long after, when he asked to see the ambassador, Sir Ronald Campbell, and said, I regret to have to tell you that I'm informed by my police that a member of your staff with diplomatic privilege is engaged in interviewing some of my people and discussing with them various matters which ought to be reserved for discussions between my government and you. And Sir Ronald Campbell, who was a rather nervous man, was appalled at this disclosure, and said, I find it very hard to believe that such a thing could happen. We are on such good terms, naturally I can't tell you any more about that interview except what the ambassador himself told me on the following day, that he was clearly shaken. He thought that I had been doing something which in fact I had not, and I didn't realize till afterwards what had happened, that it was not J.G. Beaver, but another man whose name doesn't now matter, and he wasn't one of my people, nor was he an SOE man. He was an SIS man whom I had tried to help by lending him an office where he could interview somebody. And the ambassador said, my relations with Dr. Salazar are absolutely vital to the whole relation between our governments. And he is interested in all sorts of subjects which are not my subjects, such as sardines, and he's often asking questions to which I cannot possibly know the answer. I do not wish our relations to be confused and exacerbated by an incident like this.
So were you disciplined in any way by Campbell because of this?
I was threatened by his head of transfer, Paul Mason, that they might have to waive my diplomatic immunity and hand me over to the Portuguese. I said, I suggest you consult the Foreign Office before you take that step, because I knew the Chiefs of Staff would say, for God's sake, no, we can't have the Foreign Office mucking up our war effort in this way. And no, but he was... It didn't need saying that it was such a serious situation that he thought had been caused by me, they hadn't, that he wouldn't willingly keep me on his staff. I decided that I was doing... He was confused about what had really happened. He was in an extremely nervous condition, and I must do something to help him, to get Salazar's mind into the right focus. And so I did two things, which I'm glad to say were a success. First, I wrote an account in a carefully edited form for the ambassador to give to Salazar, saying, from Major J.G.B., assistant military attaché, and saying why I was under orders to do the things which I had been doing. And that I said, when I left London, half the city of London was in flames. It was generally believed that the Germans would be invading Spain and Portugal in the spring of 1960, which mercifully has not yet happened. And my main job was, bearing in mind what had happened in the case of France, that we should be able to help the Portuguese government if they were overwhelmed by the force of the Nazis, if we should be able to help them to organize resistance or destroy important installations. But in everything that I was instructed to do and everything that I had done in the year I've been in Portugal was directed to this one end. And I have not distributed money or arms or anything to anybody. And anyway.
So that was one thing you did. What was the second thing you did?
The second thing was much harder, and I never thought I should succeed, because I couldn't do it myself. I relied on the Secret Intelligence Service to give me something, no, that they would give it direct to the ambassador, showing that the Germans were doing far worse things than anything that I was doing. And of course, the SIS is a very discreet organization and hates ever telling anybody anything. And I was very doubtful if I'd succeed in getting it. Fortunately, the two people who headed the two different branches were both good friends of mine. One was the man to whom I gave this information from Terestrenko, which I told you about earlier, and the other was the man called Philip Johns, who also wrote a book on this subject. You might like to make a note of it. He paid a great tribute to Mary as his secretary. And anyhow, the two of them, thank goodness, were prepared to play and to to disclose some obviously secret information, going so far as to disclose to Salazar that the Germans had been able to repeat a conversation which he had had in his own foreign office with his own foreign secretary. Now this, of course, was the most difficult thing of all to extract, because if you thought it through, it could only have been obtained by disclosing the fact that we had broken the German code and we had intercepted the message from the German embassy to Berlin. And that was the hardest thing to do in wartime. And I was really astonished at this. But this shook him. And he kept these two papers, which the ambassador gave him, for about 2 weeks. And all of us were getting very anxious that something awful was going to happen. But eventually, he handed them back to the ambassador and said, I find Major Beaver's paper sincero y leal, sincere and loyal. I'm inclined to withdraw. I'm inclined to cancel my request for his withdrawal. I think it is better that he should leave Lisbon, but I leave it entirely to you to decide on the timing. Now, this was what I above all needed. I wanted somebody who would take over from me. And so in the end, it was a happy ending. The ambassador, I don't think, ever really quite understood. And I don't think he ever really believed that I could have been as innocent as I said I was. But I think what I said was pretty truthful. And then, of course, this you see, I left in June 1942, and the North African landings were in November 42, which was only 4 or 5 months later. And from that moment, yes, and you see, Pearl Harbor was December 41, I think.
Yes.
And so, I mean, Salazar, from the beginning of 1942, was beginning to realize that it was conceivable that Britain would win the war after all, and that he had been wrong in thinking that we had no chance of ever surviving.
So this incident over the room, over the office, happened in 42.
I'm not sure whether I can. The episode of my lending the office to a colleague must have happened about March 1942, and some 3 months must have elapsed. After that episode and the date of my leaving Lisbon, during that period I had been able to arrange for a successor to come and take my place in the embassy.